Free Talk Live. You can take control of the airwaves as we continue here into hour number two of the program. 800-259-9231. Coming up, the UK cops are up to some shenanigans. We will explain what they've been up to. It involves breaking into your home. 800-259-9231. Coming up, also, we got to continue this internship story that Gardner Goldsmith has for us. The federal government and state governments are investigating the idea that there could possibly be people, especially young people, in this country working for nothing, for zero pay, an unpaid internship, which I went through when I was coming up in my radio years. We'll talk about that in continuing here in a moment. But first, we want to go to Stephen. I believe he's actually with us this time. Stephen in Florida, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hello. I wanted to talk about the stupidity and the futility of partisanship. And I was listening to my local NPR station here today in Florida. And excuse me. And the subject, I guess the subject was partisanship. I didn't catch it from the beginning. But it quickly degenerated into a bunch of Democrats calling in to say how stupid and unpatriotic and idiotic the Tea Party people were. And, of course, their definition of Tea Party person was anybody who wasn't a Democrat.
So well, now, before you go on, just kind of a quick observation. This never struck me before, but how is this any different, the Democrats calling the Tea Party people unpatriotic, et cetera?
Bigots is usually what they say.
Bigots.
Yeah.
But just focusing on the unpatriotic part, how different is that from what the Republicans would have called people at a peace march during the Bush administration? The people who, for whatever reason, are no longer in favor of peace, but were back then. Some of them are still, but many of them have decided to give Obama some time. It's
sure,
okay
yeah.
that he's killing brown people because he's taking steps to leave the Middle East.
He's a centrist killer.
It's an easy
told.
Refuge Perfect. Of. I think it's an easy refuge of simpletons who don't want to argue on in either an intellectual or moral fashion to claim that you are unpatriotic because you don't fit in with whatever the majority seems to be shooting for at that time. So if it's a war, so-called, or if it's health care, so-called, any of these things,
right.
Well, the
protesters are the unpatriotic ones.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, right. you're bad. You stand out like a sore thumb. You're obviously, as they would have said in The Prisoner, you are not part of the community. You are being antisocial.
So it doesn't seem to be any different to me what's going on now as what was going on 10 years ago. But go ahead.
Okay, and that exactly was my point, except for I took a slightly different approach than you, Ian. I called in actually, and but I never got on the air because there was just too many people in line ahead of me. And by the way, the call screening was about the same as yours. They just asked what my topic was, so that was kind of interesting, a little bit different. But what I was going to say was that I'm not a liberal. I was going to mention that I was not a liberal and not a Democrat, and just kind of let them guess as to what I was. And I was going to mention that actually, in my lifetime, my short lifetime here, the best president of my lifetime. Probably was, or one of the best presidents, I was going to make sure to carefully word it, one of the best presidents was probably Jimmy Carter, you know, and kind of throw a little wrench into the thing to where anybody who's not a Democrat obviously hates that. But I was going to make sure to mention the fact that choosing my favorite president is sort of like looking in my neighbor's yard and choosing my favorite dog turd.
Yes.
But while I was on hold, I didn't get a chance to say this, it was unfortunate, but while I was on hold, this guy called in, he was just aghast and beside himself. That these Republicans were out here, these Tea Party people out here, and they're against the government. And he said, why, we had 8 years of Bush, and even though we disagreed with him, we respected him. And I thought, dude, I mean, come on. Okay, maybe personally he did, but he cannot say that of the entire left. And all you have to do, and I did this actually, all you have to do is get on YouTube and look for any videos of any rallies or demonstrations or protests that date back 2 years,
yeah.
You know, 2 years ago or more. And you can see, I mean, there's pictures of Bush with Hitler and
sure.
You know, the foulest language you could ever imagine. And, you know, they compared him to Hitler and saying that they're fascists and they should all be killed, suggesting that there should be a revolution in the streets and so forth. But yet, not that the Democrats are in charge. Suddenly, if a Republican, I'm not a Republican, keep in mind, but suddenly if a Republican says anything like that, or a Tea Party person, or a voluntarist, or an anarchist says anything like that, suddenly that's beyond the pale. How dare we? say anything like this.
Yeah, I'd say that guy was doing quite a bit of history revisionism there, especially when he was speaking on behalf of all Democrats. Well, we respected him.
Yeah, exactly.
No political side typically respects the other side. There's always name-calling, especially on talk radio shows. There's always making fun of the other side.
And people will call in and say things like this. You may disagree with what the president has to say, but you must respect him. He is our commander-in-chief. And they'll say things like that. And I don't know whether these people are lockstep, goose-step, execution lever-pulling nut jobs that actually would do what they say, which is, well, you've got to respect the man. You might disagree with him, but shut up and sit down. Or they just want you to shut up and sit down. Yeah. And this is the best thing they can come up with, is that you're a bad person for disagreeing with my particular favorite
candidate.
And
you know, one of the things that particularly bothers me is, and this actually goes to the most recent podcast that I produced, I was in Heathrow Airport, and I sat down next to this guy who had a U.S. passport, and he had the U.S. Constitution inside it. I'm getting ready to fly back to the United States, and I said, oh, I noticed you had the Constitution in there. It's interesting how they keep trying to find loopholes to do things they want rather than amend it. And so we got in a conversation. At first, he sounded very friendly to the ideas of, you know, actually abiding by the rules, at least as the politicians promise. I didn't even get into the idea that the Constitution is insufficient to protect liberty, and markets are what you rely on. But it turned out he was in favor of the health care thing. So I started to ask him, I started to ask him some questions, and I decided I'd press him a little bit harder intellectually, just to really question him. So I got to the moral question at the end, which was, if I just want to be left alone, would you force me to conform? And he tried to dance around it, so I stuck to the issue, and I said, no, seriously, you think this is a great idea, I've offered you all of my constitutional arguments, economic arguments, but you still seem to be in favor of this, would you employ force to make me do this? And he said, he got upset, he said, yes, I would. And he was a naturalized citizen. I don't know where he came from. I'm so glad that he's here now to negate any votes that, even mild freedom lovers have. But in the end, I started to ask him some more questions. And he says, I said, so if I just want to be left alone, you'll coerce me. He says to me, you're righteous about this. You're religious about this. Leave me alone. I just want you to leave me alone. So he says to me, leave me alone. And he's the one who's initiating force. They look at us as the ones who are attackers. They portray those of us who want to be left alone as the vicious ones.
Yeah. I have gotten three in the same gentle pushing way, you know, not trying to be bullying or trying to, down on people or insult them or anything like that, but just in a gentle pushing way like you just described. I've gotten three partisan Democrats in the last probably 8 months or so to admit that, yes, they are willing to use force. Yes, taxation is theft, but guess what? We have to do it.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I've flat out gotten them to admit it.
I think
that is good.
I think that's the best thing you can do in that circumstance, is to at the very least say, yes, we need a government to steal from people and kill people that we don't agree with. And once you can do that, then that begins to work on their brain, because they've at that point endorsed what it takes to, you know, do whatever any dictator might want.
Well, they've acknowledged the gun in the room and they've grabbed for it. They've happily grabbed hold of it.
But the amazing thing is that they put up all these fantasies. They build these fantasies up, these fictions that say that since you don't accept the warm and fuzzy notion that we're all part of a giant community and we all love one another. In other words, I'm going to impose my love on you. I will force you to extend yourself to others that I tell you you will extend to. If you resist that, your resistance means that you're antisocial, anti-communitarian, and you're evil. And it's this is one of the biggest hurdles we have to overcome.
Well, the idea that that love in any way involves aggressive force is
crazy.
Ludicrous.
Absolutely.
Right. And then, I mean, we digressed a little bit, but I started out rather talking about partisan politics, and I had totally abandoned partisan politics in 1994, 1995, thereabouts, and I'm so glad of it. And I think maybe that might be the first hurdle, and then the second hurdle would be what Gard is talking about.
Thank you, Stephen, for the call tonight. I appreciate hearing from you in the discussion at 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. If they claim to be for peace, find out for sure. More coming up. This is Free Talk Live.
Can you hear that?
Can you hear it?
It's very annoying.
I hear it.
Can you hear that sound? That ringing? That hissing?
I can't get to sleep with it.
I can't concentrate. I hear it constantly.
You can't hide from it.
Everywhere I go, it doesn't go away. It drives me nuts.
It's tinnitus.
A constant ringing in your ear caused by loud machines.
Loud music.
Ah, finally. Quietus.
I love Quietus. Quietus will stop the ringing fast.
Quietus is all-natural, chewable, quiet relief.
Quiet relief so I can work.
I now get a full night's rest. Quietus has helped thousands of people with tinnitus.
Quietus is real, my friend.
Quietus has changed my life.
Call right now for your risk-free trial of Quietus at 1-800-758-1817. That's 1-800-758-1817. Stop the ringing now. 1-800-758-1817. That's 1-800-758-1817.
How well and how fast does Heart and Body Extract work to improve blood circulation? Listen.
My name is Ellis, and I'm 66 years old, and I live in Jacksonville, Florida. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed as having clogged arteries. I had 70% blockage in one artery leading to my heart. They wanted me to go on Plavix, but I refused, knowing the negative side effects.
Heart and Body Extract is a unique balance, synergy, and proportion of herbs reaching from head to toe at maximum absorption around 95% at the cellular level.
Within the first month, I felt a dramatic difference. The heaviness in my legs was reduced, and within 2 months, I felt completely normal.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. Call 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
George Washington said, "Government is not reason, it is not eloquence, it is force, like fire. It is a dangerous servant and a fearful master." America's government is no longer the servant of the people and the protector of our liberty, but has become that fearful master. We the people must understand the nature of this government gone awry if we are to be successful in saving our country. America is being deliberately destroyed by a cabal of international gangsters so that she can be forced into subjugation to a one-world government. The God-given, unalienable rights of the Declaration of Independence are in jeopardy. We must not let them be stolen by ambitious and evil men. Utopia Silver Supplements believes it is our God-given right to make our own health care decisions however we deem best. If we can help you with your supplement needs and better health, then help us win this health freedom battle. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's utopiasilver.com. Or call 888-213-4338. Again, 888-213-4338.
This is Free Talk Live on the Genesis Communications Network and freetalklive.com. Dial us up at 1-800-259-9231.
This is Free Talk Live. Take control of the airwaves by dialing in toll-free to 1-800-259-9231. The SACL CAI toll-free line, 800-259-9231 tonight. It's Ian with you.
And Guard.
And Mark. And you can join us online at freetalklive.com. We give you the features free. Website itself is all free for you. Go to freetalklive.com, create a login. That'll get you access to both the bulletin board system and the main site. The main site allows you to basically submit any kind of story idea that you want to. You can submit news stories or blog posts or whatever, and our other listeners will vote them up and vote them down, and the best stories will make it to the front page of the site. It's free. You can go to freetalklive.com, and you can check out the Low Country Liberty Report to get more great liberty-oriented content, specifically video content. LCLReport.com is the place to go. He's been covering all kinds of liberty-oriented stuff there, though I heard rumor that he's going to shut down the LCL Report and move on to other projects.
That's amazing.
So this may be the last time we talk about the LCL Report, although his videos, I imagine, will stay up in perpetuity. So you can always go enjoy those at lclreport.com. I know Taryn, the guy behind LCL Report, is also working with the folks over at Wheels Off Liberty, another great program that is continuing on. They have no plans to stop. In fact, I was talking with Jamie from the Wheels Off Liberty today about taking them to the next level, taking their show to the next level.
What does that mean?
I can't say more than that right now. It's
it's a great show. And, you know, whatever, those boys have talent, and they need to be moving on.
Absolutely.
I agree.
So we're working on that behind the scenes, too, to help those guys out. And, of course, Gardner Goldsmith is with us tonight from LibertyConspiracy.com, another great liberty-oriented website with audio content.
You even got to go international last week. That was amazing.
Did you produce a show out there?
It was amazing, yeah. We sat down, Ziggy sat us down with this guy named Ed Joyce right in downtown London, had a great 20-minute conversation about this unique aspect of libertarian philosophy that's pretty much unique to England called geolibertarianism.
And, what does that mean?
Well, it stems. The podcast is actually fascinating. People are familiar with Muse and Matt Bellamy. They know they've heard that he's a libertarian, but he's a particular branch of libertarianism called geolibertarianism. And what they
does that mean? Earth libertarian?
Well, it's kind of interesting. At first blush, you hear the argument that they believe that no one can hold private property. That you can't just stake a claim first come first serve on private property, applying your skills to it, and the earth itself, the resource of the earth. Earth itself, if you want to call it a resource, and there's some debate that I think needs to be applied there, because human action creates resources. It's not the nature itself that is the resource, really. It's the human mind that turns it into something useful. But
well, because oil was
it was sludge.
Yeah, it was useless until somebody figured out
right.
It was actually an annoyance for farm owners.
But geolibertarianism is actually very interesting historically. It goes back to a particular act in the 1800s when a lot of private land was taken from people and given over to the dukes and the barons and so on who were tied to the familial royal line. It was a vestige of feudalism and things like that. And so in England, they want this land brought back to the people, and it's very difficult to try to sort of figure out who had it, and familially, you know, the branches have all split off, so they don't think that any one individual could own the land in England. It's a very interesting branch of libertarian philosophy basically the outcome of it is that people can utilize the land, but they would have to pay a certain amount into some sort of communal trust.
So basically they're advocating for the government then.
Yeah, that's the problem.
That's what I've always heard about them, is that they call themselves libertarian, but yet at the same time they're advocating some sort of state.
It's slightly self-contradictory.
Which, of course, really is the description of a libertarian today, somebody who's advocating a small state.
That's what it seems like. So it's very interesting to talk to him. I want to talk to Ed a little more, because we really should do another part to this regarding what is a natural resource, what is not a natural resource.
Who decides?
And who decides.
Right, and that's really what it all comes down to. When you're distributing these lands and making it fair for everybody, who gets to decide?
Yeah, who decides what the payment is that I have to pay into, whatever the amount is? How is that determined?
And it's an amazing thing to see how this has grown because of particular decisions that were made in the British government in the 1800s, this sort of branch of how to deal with what was done to the people. It's very interesting. So that's over at the website. And we had a great time. And I recorded all sorts of very interesting things with people. Just really, really cool people over there. Really neat.
So basically, there are people that believe that the state should exist, but only to deal with proper matters of property.
It seems like it, and I don't even know whether they would call it the state.
Of course, it
has to be the state, but
monopoly organization.
It's the way it's going to go, unless
with coercive force.
Yeah, unless they can come up with some voluntary arrangement as to how that property would be managed. If they can do it voluntarily, I wouldn't call it a state. I would call it, you know, voluntary governance. But I don't know. It's very.
I think that's what they should do. We should do away with the state, and then they can create their own title company.
They can figure it out themselves.
You know, and work in the marketplace to ascertain who owns what.
I think that works for me.
All right, 800-259-9231. Unscreened caller on the AMP line. You're on Free Talk Live, the Ian Gardner and Mark.
Hi, this is Matt from Illinois.
Matt, what's on your mind tonight?
I wanted to talk a little bit about one of Gard's favorite subjects, Abraham Lincoln.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Hey, Gard, I read The Real Lincoln
by Thomas
DiLorenzo.
Yeah.
And I got to say, after reading that book, that I don't think that man should be venerated one iota. In fact, I think he should be villainized.
The way he treated
people, the way he treated the South. And as far as Mark's argument about attacking Fort Sumter, that man tricked the South into attacking Fort Sumter, just like Roosevelt tricked the Japanese into attacking.
How did he do that, man? How did he trick them into it?
He was constantly making promises that he was going to evacuate the fort.
Yeah.
When South Carolina seceded from the Union.
He sent false communiques. He sent all sorts of false communiques to set it up that they would fire the first shot.
Right.
Yep.
Then what he did was he started to resupply the fort.
Right.
Rather than evacuating it. And at that point, the South Carolina militia said, hey, we've had enough.
Point of information. So he lied about evacuating the fort, instead did the opposite, resupplied the fort. Was the fort attacking people from the South?
No.
Okay, so then they still shouldn't have attacked it. I mean, just because because the politician lied justifies the South attacking the fort?
See,
I'm not trying to justify anything. I'm just saying this is what happened. You're right. The Southerners, the militia should not have attacked the fort.
Okay, good. That's how I feel.
And this is why I've moved farther and farther into the sort of the pacifist camp, because when you keep violence as your sort of backup plan, then at some point the backup plan is going to become the main plan. This guy keeps on saying he's going to evacuate the fort. He's not evacuating the fort. He's lying. Now he's resupplying them. I've had it. I'm sick and tired. Let's shoot.
But the key thing here is that the South was trying to be autonomous, and by remaining there, that was considered a threat by the North.
No doubt.
And that they were going to still reign over with their hegemony.
No doubt.
And that's one small part.
Hello?
You're here.
Okay. At the time, it could be argued that the North was embargoing them, and that was an act of war.
Right on. It was an act of war. You're absolutely right. And there's so much more that Lincoln did. Absolutely criminal.
There are always excuses. If you want, you can share more with us here in moments. Always excuses to turn to violence. That's what I'm hearing.
The South didn't think there was going to be an embargo?
There's more coming up. This is Free Talk Live.
As the U.S. and the world slip slowly into economic and financial gridlock, some economists predict a global financial meltdown and economic collapse worse than we have ever seen. Don't wait for the edicts to start coming out of Washington, D.C. before you begin to fill your pantry. Prepare for financial and economic Armageddon now. Ready Reserve Food has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest in dehydrated foods for nearly 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, unlike other companies that just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Many companies do not even offer a catalog, but we will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Call 800-453-2202. That's 800-453-2202. Or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Factory direct wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us to prepare for financial and economic Armageddon now at 800-453-2202 for your free catalog now.
The healing revolution is here, naturally. Announcing King Bio Natural Medicines, over 200 powerful physician-tested homeopathic formulas for mind, body, and pets. Get fast relief this allergy season with King Bio's Allergy and Hay Fever Reliever. When you order online today, you'll receive a free guide booklet to natural medicine. Supplies limited, so order at kingbio.com. That's kingbio.com. KingBio.com, your natural pharmaceutical company.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com. Or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Most people know that drinking pure high alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using plasma pH drops is the best way to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's A-L-K-A-Vision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776 today.
You're listening to Free Talk Live on the Genesis Communications Network and freetalklive.com. Call in at 1-800-259-9231.
This is Free Talk Live. Take control of the airwaves. Dial in toll free. Bring up anything. 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll free line. Tonight, it's Ian with you.
And Gar.
And Mark.
You can join us online at freetalklive.com. We give you the features. They are free. And they include our bulletin board system with over 500,000 posts. There's a lot to talk about there. You'll find it all free over at bbs.freetalklive.com. But word of warning, it is virtually unmoderated. bbs.freetalklive.com.
You've heard the claims, and I'm here to tell you they're true. Your baby can learn to read. Go see the video at babyreadingkit.com and see a couple of babies that have been exposed to the monkey see, monkey do videos. And you can get them at babyreadingkit.com. I've got these for my son, Jack, and I'll recommend them for your child, too. Jack's been watching these videos for over a week now. And I can't say that I know for sure that he's reading, but I can say that he's got a whole new relationship around the words that are in these videos. He's saying them. He'll say them even before the narrator says them. It could be because the order that they're in, and he's memorized them. But it's amazing. Go see this video at babyreadingkit.com.
All right, we continue here. Matt is on the line with us in Illinois talking about Abraham Lincoln, the Civil War as well. And you just finished reading a book, The Real Lincoln, by Tom DiLorenzo, Matt, and you were shocked.
Yes. This is stuff that I think that should be taught in schools. And being from Illinois, it was even more, there was even more of this worship for Lincoln than usual.
I remember what they taught me in school about Abraham Lincoln. Let's see. He chopped down a cherry tree with...
That's George Washington.
Okay, so I don't remember. Anyway, he was like heroic and got shot.
He was born in a log cabin and he freed the slaves. He was heroic and you know, evil people took him out and he was a saint.
Right. He supposedly, you know, was responsible for freeing the slaves with this war, and yet before he was elected, while he was campaigning, and even in the year that after he was elected, before the war started, and in fact, even during the first year or two of the war, he was more or less pro-slavery, saying that he wasn't going to do anything about the slaves in the South. He was just worried about preserving the Union. And what he ended up doing, what I've learned from the book, or what I took away from it, is that I believe now that Abraham Lincoln is the reason we have such an intrusive federal government today.
I just wanted to jump in real quick. I would agree with you to a certain extent. I think Abraham Lincoln was the most virulent form of that centrist statist disease. And I think DiLorenzo's scholarship has been dovetailed with his most recent book, Hamilton's Curse, because the Hamiltonian centrist special favors for mercantilist interests, big business, banker interests sort of thing was carried through, as you know, he mentions it in The Real Lincoln, by Henry Clay after Alexander Hamilton. Hamilton wanted the treasury. He's the one who helped convince Washington to march on the whiskey rebels and things like that out in Pennsylvania. He was one of the major problems that brought about the constitutional so-called reforms and helped destroy the true Confederation under the Articles of Confederation. Lincoln followed through from Clay, and he used to talk about how he was in favor of what they called internal improvements, otherwise known as pork. And
right.
Yeah, and he had a lot of friends in northern mercantilist interests. They had imposed huge tariffs against foreign manufacturers who were shipping things down into the South because they wanted the South to have to deal with only the northern interests. That was a massive, massive problem for the South. And just to mention, you know, before the break, we mentioned how the North was establishing an embargo. The whole thing about Fort Sumter had to do with the embargo. An embargo is an aggressive act of war. FDR did it against Japan to sucker Japan to try to get in there for some reason because Japan was in a war with China. What the hell do we have to do with friggin' China? Nothing. But, I mean, he did it. So you get these sorts of acts. They did the same sort of thing I mentioned off the air against Rhode Island when Rhode Island was not going to sign on to the Constitution. They threatened an embargo. It is an aggressive act. So the aggression started with Lincoln. He used subterfuge to get the South to fire because they thought they weren't going to be able to keep their port open. And from that point on, he did other things like supposedly freeing the slaves. He did not free the slaves in the North. He established an unconstitutional income tax, established an unconstitutional draft, arrested without habeas corpus the representative body of one state just because they were going to remain neutral.
Didn't he also put people in jail that were journalists?
Yeah, he was
newspapermen.
Yes, indeed. There were also, he went to arrest a member of the Supreme Court because that member of the Supreme Court was going to note, by the way, only Congress can suspend habeas corpus, Abe, but, you know, evidently he's a big hero to people. I can understand why somebody shot him.
You know, I'm not going to sit here and say that Abraham Lincoln's a good guy, but I'd like to draw a distinction between two types of embargoes, okay? I think that there's and I'm not going to say that any of it's legitimate because of this whole idea of nations, I think, is a fallacious idea that, you know, we can draw lines on maps and say, everybody in this circle belongs to us, and everybody outside this circle is the enemy. I think that's stupid. But
and dangerous.
Let's be clear. When the United States threatened an embargo against Japan, actually not threatened, but had an embargo against Japan prior to World War II, they embargoed only their products going, and especially it was oil, going to Japan. Right. So that's the United States telling its own citizens, you may not trade with Japan. Now, it's an aggressive act, but it's an aggressive act against its own citizens, which I think is
it's an aggressive act both ways.
It's not an act of war in the sense.
If
the United States stopped, say, the Soviet Union, which would be difficult.
I have to disagree with you, Mark. You're being very selective. It's your own personal view that just because it was only oil, that's not as bad. I mean, frankly,
it's not that it's only oil. It's that the United States saying you may not have United States. States oil, and to the understanding of the average person,
right,
they got all their oil from the United States. I got it.
Right.
But the average person says the United States peoples belong to the United States. The people of the United States inhabited the United States people. Like, they're idiots, okay? And that's how they think.
But,
and so they're, if the United States government says the United States people may not trade with the Japanese people, it seems far more legitimate to the average individual than it does if the United States says that the people of the United Kingdom may not.
That's an excellent point, but that's only regarding perceptions. I mean, regarding, you know,
perception
in my personal
is reality.
View, well, in my personal view, there's a matter of what is aggressive force and what is not. And FDR taking that action was aggressive force not only against Americans, but also against the Japanese.
I don't think Mark is disagreeing with you that it's aggressive force. What I'm hearing Mark say is that it's not as bad as it could have been. I mean, rather than cutting off the entire world's supply to Japan, they only cut off the supply of the United States.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So it's a limited amount of aggression as compared to what could be. I mean, they could have put ships around the country and blown up anybody that tried to come their direction.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, going back to the issue of the Fort Sumter and them the southern people firing on the fort, I still don't think that was justified. And I think,
well, I don't think it's wise. Justification isn't the real issue here, because
that's
about initiation of force, and you know that you can get into a murky area. But it's as far as wisdom goes. They had not actually been embargoed at that point. They'd had it threatened against
them. They were
scared
of it. Right.
And they had most of their trading had been done up to that point because of tariffs that existed previously with the North. So it was essentially a threat of their existing supply lines, which is sort of understandable. But let's think about it from a practical standpoint. If the South had decided, you know what, we're not going to fire on any northern forts, and a year later, would they have been better off or worse off if they had, or 4 years later is even a better example, 4 years later, would they have been better off or worse off if they just decided that we're going to try to do some...
I've got an analogy for later.
We can come back to the analogy in a moment. I want to get some final thoughts from Matt. Go ahead.
Well, as final thoughts... I got a couple things. First off, the Fort Sumter thing. I agree that the South shouldn't have fired. You should always wait for the other guy to fire the first shot. That's why the British were able to be so villainized, is because they fired the first shot at protesters in Boston.
Boston Massacre.
I believe that Lincoln was actually going against the European central planners and trying to make a centralized government in the United States against the Europeans. I think he had a bigger plan. Not that justifies...
But he wasn't able to complete it. I thank you for the call tonight. Right. More coming up here. 800-259-9231. The SACL CAI toll-free line. Free Talk Live.
Attention, all active duty members and veterans of the U.S. military. Your proud service to your country entitles you with the right to participate in special VA loan programs with benefits not available to the general public, like the ability to purchase a new home with no down payment or mortgage insurance, or refi with cash out up to 100% of your present home equity with less strict credit criteria. You are entitled to these benefits. Review them online at varadio.com.
This is Tim Lewis from iFreedom Direct and a veteran of Operation Iraqi Freedom. I want you to know that as a member or veteran of the United States military, you've earned special rights and privileges. On your feet! And get the details at varadio.com.
iFreedom Direct Corporation is a private lender approved by the VA and licensed in most states. In certain states, certain restrictions and limitations apply. For a current list of licenses, disclosures, and all benefits, go to varadio.com. varadio.com.
Fact. 4 million people in the U.S. have hepatitis C due to liver damage. Fact. Cirrhosis of the liver is the eighth leading cause of death among Americans. Fact. Alcohol, many prescription drugs, food additives, pesticides, and environmental toxins damage the liver. Fact. 1 in 10 Americans is or has been affected by liver or gallbladder disease. Fact. Anything that keeps the liver from doing its job can put your life in danger. Protect your liver by visiting researchedherbs.com and learning more about the world's number one selling all-natural liver support formula, LIV52. It is the only herbal liver supplement that is backed by over 190 published clinical trials and endorsed by 250,000 healthcare professionals in 76 countries worldwide. Don't wait to protect your liver. Visit us at researchedherbs.com or call 1-800-973-1486. That's 1-800-973-1486 or go to researchedherbs.com. All the goodness with none of the side effects.
Don't answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Spring is here. Growing season. The economy is not getting any better. In fact, it's getting worse. Think about it. At this rate, how will your life be in a month or even a year? Maybe you've been putting things off, but the time to act is now. The country is running out of food. You need to get your seeds before it's too late. At OrganicaSeed.com, you'll find one of the largest online selections of heirloom seeds, survival seed packs, as well as the giant vegetable seed collections that can feed you and your family for years. Grow your very own fresh vegetables, wheatgrass, fruits, herbs, rice, tea, coffee, and tobacco. With detailed growing guides available to you at no charge, you can maximize your harvest and investment. And the best part? All orders ship within 24 hours. So head over to OrganicaSeed.com. That's OrganicaSeed.com. OrganicaSeed.com. Today.
This is Free Talk Live on the Genesis Communications Network and freetalklive.com. Dial us up at 1-800-259-9231.
This is Free Talk Live, and you can take control of the airwaves toll-free, 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line, 1-800-259-9231. Tonight, it's Ian with you.
And Guard.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. Give you the features for free, so enjoy those on us, including archives. So if you've missed a moment of the show, you just need to click and download. They're yours right there on the front page. You can actually go into the podcast, go all the way back to 2009, totally free, at freetalklive.com.
So if you're looking to make a major purchase here, house, car, that kind of thing, you really need to be thinking about your credit report. If you've got foreclosures, bankruptcies, judgments, liens, collections, late payments, or any kind of derogatory credit on your credit report, the people that you need to call before you start looking at cars and houses, and I know, cars and houses, it's a lot more fun to shop for those than it is to shop for, well, credit repair, but these are the people you need to give a call to first. It's cleaningcredit.com, and they offer a service unlike I've ever heard of before. They will get your credit report cleaned up so that you save what's likely going to be thousands of dollars if it's a major purchase throughout the life of the loan by cleaning up your credit and disputing derogatory credit reports on your credit report. Cleaningcredit.com, it is a law firm, and the rates are very reasonable. It's like $60 a month, and they're part of the Better Business Bureau, so you're not going to get ripped off. Cleaningcredit.com.
All right, we continue with your phone calls over to the UK, where Jock is on the line. Jock, you're on the inbox. Hello there.
Hi, I hope you can hear me properly. I have to use Skype. I can't afford transatlantic phone calls.
Nice. Shut it off.
All right.
I just want to talk, God, I listened to your podcast with Ed and Ziggy the other day, and that was the first time that I had heard geolibertarianism talked about as a sort of British specialism, which, I mean, I think is ahistoric. I would say that geolibertarianism was part of my journey from a liberal democracy to anarchism.
Really?
And the thing is, it's a homegrown American thing, I have to tell you. It was initiated by a 19th century American libertarian-ish chap called Henry George. You know about him?
Yes, and it's funny
I've heard
because,
of Georgism.
Yeah, I've heard of Georgism,
yeah.
and I always thought they were the same thing, and then I was told, no, they're not the same thing. Ed in our conversation, and Ziggy said the same thing. No, they're, I think Ziggy did. It was, no, they're separate, but they are the same thing then.
They are the same thing. The geo bit, lots of people have different ideas, either whether it's Georgist or geoist, i.e. land.
Yeah.
But the main sort of proponents are libertarian guys over on your side of the Atlantic, people like Dan Sullivan and a guy called Fred Foldry, an academic in California.
Never heard of him.
And Mason Gaffney, an economist over there as well.
Yeah.
But I can understand why Ed thinks that it has a particular resonance over here because of the remnants of feudalism and the land grab that took place.
Well, we couldn't get into the abstract nature of the argument, which I don't think it holds up abstractly. And I would love to be able to talk to you about that and get your perspective on how exactly do they propose managing not having the land fall into private hands, and who will control this duty that has to be paid in order to use the land. How do you do that without having some sort of a state? Is it voluntary? How does that work?
Yeah, well, this is where I've kind of moved on, because, I mean, Henry George's idea was that should be the limit of the state, collecting that rent and then redistributing it as a citizen's dividend to even out
the
value.
So he's just another small government minus one, basically.
If you go further forward, there was no dispute that land was a problem. The 19th century Americans like Josiah Warren and Benjamin Tucker, and right through to Albert J. Nock and Frank Chudderoff, they were all Georgists as well as libertarians. But later on, the sort of Rothbardian ethic, and that's where I've moved on. I mean, I think there are voluntary ways of doing this. I mean, for example, Rothbard talks about where land has been acquired unjustly, then that would all be unwound come an anarchic state, so that people would have to stake their claims again, and the people that are currently using that land for productive purposes, rather than the heirs of the landlords who got it and are still charging rent for it, you know, that they would become the new owners, given that the state disappears and the state-granted land titles disappear.
Yeah, hey, this is terrific. I don't want to sequester the time on the show, but if you can send me an email, I would love to be able to conduct an interview with you for the website. Can you write to me at libertyconspiracy@yahoo.com, because we can do a Skype conversation. I'd love it.
I will do. It was just fortuitous that you were on tonight and I was listening, because I'd listened to it over the weekend.
It's perfect timing, and we got an abbreviated conversation. I couldn't get into those philosophical questions, and I find it fascinating that you say people like Albert J. Nock were Georgists, but it makes sense when you read Our Enemy of the State.
Exactly. That chapter in Our Enemy of the State was about his Georgism, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. Okay. It's really, really cool. And that does lead you to the, you know, as we were discussing, you can resolve these things in an anarchic situation.
Yeah.
You don't need, because, look, it becomes its own self-defeating question. If you're going to establish a government to try to handle the property and the payments for the use of the property while people are using this property, which is all supposed to be communally owned and no one can own the world or whatever, then who's going to decide what the government is composed of? And why not just allow the people who are in question to handle it themselves?
Yeah, I should say, people that I've mentioned before, like Dan Sullivan, I mean, they look at ways of doing this voluntarily through sort of township corporations and things like that, where, you know, those township corporations are kind of guaranteeing your land rights. And so you end up paying a sort of insurance for your title, and that gets spread out amongst the members of that corporation. You know, so there are clearly people working on ways of achieving what they see as rebalancing an inequity without using a state to do it. So, yeah, but I mean, I've sort of managed to resolve that through to complete voluntarism. So, we should talk.
Jock, when you say you resolved it, I mean, you said you came from being a liberal, you moved into being a geo-libertarian, and now you're you use the term anarchist. Did you basically, you know, come to the conclusion that, well, property is something that is fairly well believed amongst people, and so therefore there will be a market demand for being able to demarcate where one property ends and where another begins, and figure out what the rules will generally be as far as transferring and selling and titleship and all of that, and that because there's a demand for property, that the marketplace will come up with those standards in the same way that the marketplace has come up with standards in many other areas in life that we take for granted. And albeit there has been some competition. I mean, Beta versus VHS, for instance, was a good example. There was a differing standard there, but one eventually did win out over the other, and the market ruled. And
I think probably a better example is like AC versus DC, because when you say Beta versus VHS, people are like, "Well, that didn't really affect the universe as a whole." But when you look at AC versus DC, there was a dispute in the marketplace. AC traveled farther along electrical lines and was therefore made sense. So, everybody, every day, all day uses electricity, and this is something that's hugely important. And yes, it was decided in the free market. We didn't need the government to do
it. Although DC's coming back.
It is.
DC for long transmissions. There's been some new technological advances.
No, you English guys in your DC.
Hey, Jack,
not that DC,
Yes, true. That reminds me of another show that I was on with Free Talk Live a while back. It was an interesting show. But anyway, guys, I just wanted to ask you, Jacques, while you were here. We were talking off the air, and I don't know if you got to hear this.
He's here for another 30 seconds.
Okay. I'll hold it. Jacques, you just email me, libertyconspiracy@yahoo.com. We'll communicate. Thank you so much for that. That is really enlightening.
Thank you, Jacques. Appreciate the call tonight, and you guys are going to get further in detail, in what sounds like academic detail. There were way more academics mentioned in that call than I feel comfortable with. You know how I am. I don't like hearing politicians' names dropped on talk radio, and I'm almost as uncomfortable about having economists' names. At least I presume that's who those people were.
But you did a great job resolving. You say, look, the market can resolve these things. There's an incentive for people to handle land disputes. If you're one of these Georgists or geolibertarians, there is an organic outgrowth of people to come up with their own societal ways of doing this.
So what I'm hearing, though, about these geolibertarians is that they're just basically small government minus ones, as Michael Cloud would, I think, call them.
I think you're
where
right.
Where they're all about small government except in this one area. And then that's no different from somebody who's all about small government except in the area of the military. It's just that they've got a different area that they want to focus their efforts on. And so usually what you end up seeing is when somebody who claims to be small government but has an exception or two is elected, well, they just focus on their exception and making sure government's doing what they think it should in their
area.
Their one area.
And then they got to compromise.
Yeah. Hour number three is on the way. You can bring up what you want. Take control of the airwaves. It is Free Talk Live.
Do you need a new computer but don't seem to have the money to buy one? Is your credit stopping you from buying the newest computers that you need today? Then My Computer Club is your answer to buy that new computer or laptop now and pay for it later. Finance top quality new computers and laptops and hundreds of other electronics. There are no credit checks, no turndowns. If you're 18 years or older and have proof of income, you're approved. Prices start at just $22 a month. Go to mypccredit.com and finance your new computer today. That's mypccredit.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.